Hey, America, how are you feeling since the Supreme Court went 5-4 in a very shocking direction, some would say, if you look at the makeup of the court? However, there's two schools of thought, and I'm going to tell you about them next here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. We are not done talking about health care, to be sure, although the Democrats are saying and the White House is saying, listen, what do you want? It's over. We're done. We're moving forward. We're implementing this law. You have two governors, Governor Rick Scott from Florida, saying, we're not applying. We don't want your grants. We're not going to implement Obamacare. And Governor Bobby Jindal is saying the same thing. We're not going to implement either. The only way things change, yes, there's going to be a repeal process, the Republicans in the House say, on July 11th, but there is really no place for that to go. It's all about the makeup of the Capitol. The Supreme Court's decision to uphold the Affordable Care Act has now brought a lot of attention to what obviously was going to be part of this anyway, the congressional races and what's going to happen there. I think because so many thought it wouldn't be upheld in the individual mandate and the provisions near it would go down, that this wouldn't be the question we'd be talking about. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell was on one of the Sunday Swirl programs, in other words, the talking political heads. He was on Fox News, and he said the races in his chamber in the Senate are going to be a referendum on health care, which is a job-killing, tax-increasing measure. So if you look at the number, the chamber is now controlled by the Dems. The actual number is 53-47. 33 of the 100 seats are being contested in the November election. And you want the breakdown of that? 10 Republicans, 23 Democrats, 2 Independents, which usually they would go Democratic. If you look at the House, every seat is being contested, all 435. So we knew this, but even now more than ever, Democrat or Republican, the congressional races are that much bigger. That much bigger. So a monumental decision by Chief Justice John Roberts has some people applauding him and others booing him. If you think about the irony of all of this, the fact that he was nominated by President Bush and his Senate confirmation, two of his biggest critics were Senators Joe Biden and Barack Obama. And Obama is now, of course, president, and Justice Roberts upholds Obamacare. Wow. So the Roberts opinion agreed that the Commerce Clause could not give the so-called jurisdiction for Congress to actually mandate health coverage because it would be unconstitutional. But the decision went in a different direction, called it a tax. I say it was a gift to Mitt Romney because the whole idea of not taxing was part of the promise from the president. So this is going to be the rallying cry for Mitt Romney. It already has been over the weekend, and on Friday he raised almost $5 million. But he's raising money. In some polls, he's neck and neck with Barack Obama. But is that the reality of what's happening out there? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Are people who are they just giving lip service to, I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore, and I'm voting, and I'm going to rally everybody else around me that I know, because this is a crippling, crippling thing that is going to grip this country. It's not what it's promises to be. Or will more people actually embrace the idea of it and feel like, hey, I'm getting health care coverage, and I'll be part of these state health exchanges, if your state chooses to set it up, because there apparently is so much protest over it. All right, let's move on to a couple of other quick things here that happened over the weekend. The big thing is so many of you, boom, boom, out went the lights. Although it's not a song, it's the reality for many, because you've got temperatures in the mid-90s. in Washington, D.C., if you were unlucky and you woke up, your cell phone wasn't working, your car was smashed by a tree that fell over into it, you couldn't get on the internet, couldn't turn on the lights, couldn't do pretty much anything except for sweat because of the high temperatures. They're calling it a land hurricane that left over 13 people dead, millions of people without power. There was a train with over 230 people on board, an Amtrak train. They were stuck in a very rural area of West Virginia. They had to be bussed out. It took 20 hours. Why? Trees fell down on the tracks. That's when the art of conversation can become real important. That's why you always have to carry a book or some other form of reading, a magazine, whatever. I don't know. Something. Because if not, it would be a very long, long 20 hours. In D.C., which seemed to have suffered a lot of the damage, gas stations were packed. And then they were out of gas. So as people on the weekend, because this happened on Friday, late on Friday, were headed for the beaches, deciding, yeah, I'll go to the beach. If I can get to the beach, I can jump in the water and get away from what's happening in D.C. So what happened was that gas stations were out of gas. Oh, that's rough, isn't it? Oh, very rough. Here's what Governor Chris Christie had to say about the great state of New Jersey and how they had to deal with everything.
This was a storm that obviously came upon us very quickly, without a great deal of notice. And the devastation that was caused is pretty significant. The county executive said to us this is worse than the damage that was caused during Irene.
Wow, that's surprising because remember how bad Irene was. Huge day for Tiger Woods. Would you believe he hits number 74? He surpasses the Golden Bear, Jack Nicklaus. Here's what he had to say.
It feels great to get to 74 wins and obviously pass Jack, and I did it at, you know, 36 years old, and something I'm very proud of.
Isn't it interesting, because of all the nonsense that's happened with Tiger Woods, the one thing you can't take away from him, an incredible athlete, an incredible athlete. He wins the AT&T National on Sunday, his third title of the season. He has won 74 of 271 starts on the PGA Tour. If you do the percentages and run the number, do you know that's almost 28%? That is inhuman. That is unbelievable. If you think about how many majors the guy has claimed, the records he's broken and set, the all-time lists that he sits on, it's unbelievable is what it is. Simply unbelievable. Coming up on this show, we're going to re-rack to some of the best interviews concerning a couple of things that are on our radar, including, as we take a look back, Mitch Rothschild, the CEO of a medical company, talking about the implementation, ultimately what it means, of the Affordable Health Care Act, the positives and the negatives that he sees, the big winners, like hospitals, big hospitals. Our terrorism expert, Jeff Atticott, talking about now what for Egypt, as they've gone with the Muslim Brotherhood in Morsi. And Stephen Mateo on achieving the American dream. Can we still latch on to the American dream? Enjoy. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, Jason Lewis here. Anybody who's been listening to my program knows how shaky the U.S. economy is right now. Will we have a V-shaped recovery, or will it be a W-shaped one where the nation slips back into recession? Of course, if you think that Washington can spend or inflate its way out of a downturn, you've got nothing to worry about. But as you know, I have my doubts. So let me tell you about gold. Now, as my friend Ted Anderson from Midas Resources likes to say, gold, like all commodity markets, fluctuates in price and you could lose money, but it has never been worth zero. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but has since lost 90% of its value. And if things don't change, I'm afraid the trend will continue. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237 for gold and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
So you don't want to carry a gun, but you do want to ensure your personal safety. Then empower yourself legally with self-defense products from StunGunMikes.com. Stun guns come in more shapes than just what you see on TV. Now you can get a powerful mini stun gun that fits in the palm of your hand, a stun baton, or a cell phone or lipstick stun gun. StunGunMikes.com also carries real spy gear like bug and metal detectors and discreet car and home security cameras that hide in almost any type of everyday object, from alarm clocks to pens. Now you can see how your babysitter really treats your children. Go to StunGunMikes.com, spelled just like it sounds. StunGunMikes.com. Buy real spy gear from StunGunMikes.com, just like the exact same spy gear sold to the government, military, corporate security, law enforcement, and private detectives. Empower yourself with self-defense products now from StunGunMikes.com.
Hanging out with you here on America Tonight, 855-266-5283, 855-266-KATE. Shocker, stunner. Who would think that the Chief Justice John Roberts would jump on the bandwagon? And it is about the tax, and Jay said it, it's a tax. And that's what they're calling it. That's what the Supreme Court decision was, that it was a tax. That's exactly what Roberts said. So can we survive this overhaul of health care, honestly? Roberts says don't get hung up on labels. Among other indications, it is a tax. The payment is collected solely by the IRS through the normal means of taxation. Because the Constitution permits such a tax, it is not our role to forbid it or to pass upon its wisdom or fairness. Wow. Wow. If you had stock in a hospital company, that rose. Some insurance companies actually fell. If you had a United Healthcare, it didn't do so well. The court's problem with the expansion of Medicaid is a problem. And here's the thing. They're going along saying that it can proceed as long as the federal government doesn't threaten to withhold states' entire Medicaid allotment if they don't take part. My, oh, my. Kennedy, Justice Kennedy, had the dissent and summarized it in the courtroom, saying, in our view, the act before us is invalid in its entirety. The dissenter said in a joint statement that the law exceeds federal power both in mandating the purchase of health insurance and in denying non-consenting states all Medicaid funding. Let's go to John in Kentucky. John, thanks for hanging through. What do you say, John?
How are you, Kate?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Hanging in there, hanging in there. It's just disturbing is what it is. They make it out that everybody has to have insurance. Everybody doesn't have to have insurance. I didn't have insurance since I got off my father's insurance when I turned 18. I was a Navy brat, and I had the naval, you know, medical insurance through the military. And it was a calculated risk that I made. You know, it was my choice not to have insurance up until like 3 years ago. I got it, and I got it with a huge deductible so that my rate was low. Got a $5,000 deductible, and I've always been healthy. You know, I've never needed it, except for, like, you know, stitches and broken bones. And when I went, I paid my bills. That's half the problem is you get some bums, they go and they don't pay their bills. But the main thing is they didn't have to do all this, I believe. They could have driven down the cost of insurance and medical bills just by opening up interstate lines for the insurance company.
Yes.
You know, the competition, you know, that's the free market, you know, I still don't understand why they don't, well, I know why they don't do it. It's because of the insurance lobby and all the money they pump into the politics of it. But the whole thing, like I said, is just going to get worse. And my insurance is now going to go up. I, you know, where I've always been healthy and I've got a huge deductible. My insurance is cheap now, but with all these people, you know, all this coming on, is I know it's going to drive up my insurance. The other thing is how about all the people who are going to now go in and try to scam for nerve pills and pain pills? You know, it's an epidemic all across the country.
People
on those things, and now, you know, they can go, and they weren't going to pay before, and they're not going to pay now. It's just piling on, I believe.
No, I think you're absolutely right, and it's too bad for you. You're kind of in the same boat as me, somebody who's been healthy, and you paid and whatever, and now what happens to you is your rates go up.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's the awful rub in this whole thing, is that right. How do you explain that? You know, yours go up. If you're already paying, people don't realize this, but already people are paying $1,000 extra on many of their premiums for people who are uninsured already, so now they're going to lump on more on top of that?
It's a mess. It's a total mess.
Yep, but I agree.
I'll never be able to figure out what I'm like. I said, I know why they don't. It's because all the money that gets pumped in by the insurance.
That's why.
Companies into the politics of it.
Sure, and Big Pharma. Because that's the idea. You charge more for the pills.
Just the stocks and those things soared today.
Oh, yeah. I saw that today.
You have a bad stock in both of them.
That's the key.
That would have been the position to have been in.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, brother. Hey, John, thanks for sharing on the air. So you heard with John's story, and this is what it's been. It's been a show of people calling in and talking about what's happening in their world and how it affects them. How will this Supreme Court ruling hit you and your family, or if you're single, how does it affect you? It doesn't matter what stage you're in. I think as long as you're productive, as was said, then you're okay. But boy, the idea, and Jay said it, the idea of somebody being older, think about that, because people are living longer. And I think of my grandfather. He lived to be awesome guy. John Fitzgerald lived to be 93. He was salt of the earth truck driver for a big chunk of his life, and then they wanted him to run the company, and he did. But he lived to be 93, and he was healthy only till the very, very end. And then it was little things. It wasn't anything that was crazy, that cost a fortune or any of that kind of stuff. And then he passed away in his sleep, which was a great way to go after a life well lived. But I noticed in the assisted living facility that he was in, other people weren't quite as lucky. And then these decisions will be made before even you hit 90s. What's the line? Is it 85? Is it, you know, what is it? Ooh, you need a hip? Well, I'm not so sure about that, because you've got this, and this. I mean, that's what's going to happen, making decisions based on, well, we can't give you this treatment because here's where you are. So what is there going to be, like an age group? And it's like Logan's Run. If you've never seen that movie, Logan's Run, rent it. It's from like, it's from the 70s. Somebody sent it to me one time. And that movie kind of spells this out. You'll have like a little, we'll have a little, maybe not chip, because that'd be too easy. It'd probably be some kind of beeper. And when it's time, that's it. Whoops, you hit, you're 78. With your family history, 78. We've activated you, and now we got to deactivate you. And, you know, it's not fear-mongering. It's the way this whole thing looks. It's how it looks. It absolutely doesn't feel right. Unless some amazing things happen in the interim to change it and to implement it. I don't think so. Now, if you have a lot of money and you're listening to America Tonight, you're probably okay. And you for sure are okay, because if you have to go to the Mayo Clinic or you have to afford, you can afford better health care. But what about everybody in between? Because the in-between is really getting squeezed. Really, really getting squeezed. So what a shocker. It was a shocker. 5-4 decision. And, you know, when you work on the so-called third shift, which many of you call me, you are, or you have upside-down schedules. So you wake up. I guarantee a lot of you woke up to some kind of tweet or some kind of breaking news thing where you heard this. And if you just heard the 5-4, you were stunned at what that ultimately meant. I had people hit me up in Washington early just to send me, ping me, whatever. And I rolled over because I was sleeping. I rolled over, grabbed the phone, which normally I don't have the phone right there, grabbed the phone and saw what happened. I was just stunned. I was stunned. And I said that that's how I would feel because I was so sure that the mandate would be struck down. And then when you see the ruling and what the Chief Justice said, boy, I didn't even look at it this way. I looked at it all kinds of angles, the commerce angle, etc. I didn't look at it that way. And that's what happened in the ruling. That's what happened in the majority decision. Wow. Wow. Well, we're getting beyond the wow and the whoa. I've moved from wow to whoa. How about you? 855-266-KATE. 855-266-KATE. Hang with us.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30
30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client, and you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-685-9751. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-685-9751. That's 800-685-9751. Again, 800-685-9751.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Well, now that the dust has sort of settled in Egypt, what does the rest of the world think and what should we be concerned about? Here on America Tonight, we love to go to Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert. Always so fun to kick it around with him on the show. Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
How about Egypt? Mohamed Morsi, he is the now the chosen one, and now they're talking about the fact that he might pick a woman for a vice president. Are you kidding me?
No, he's not going to pick a woman for vice president. The doctrine of the Muslim Brotherhood is that no females can have any type of a authoritarian position in government, and I you know, that's not going to happen. He's you know, he's got a lot of very fiery rhetoric when he speaks in Aramaic to, you know, other Muslims, and of course he's been educated here in the United States, so he knows how to play to the media here in this country, but basically, some of his statements are, you know, that I'm going to make the Egyptians hate America again, and, you know, all these wonderful little platitudes he's putting out. And as we have given the Egyptians and continue to give them billions of our dollars with a B, not an M.
Yeah, and why is that? Do you think people really don't understand the Muslim Brotherhood, as you said, because probably lost in translation? Maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, you know, what occurred in Egypt is rising expectations. I've been to Egypt a couple times before the quote-unquote, you know, revolution there, and it was, you know, massive poverty, and people wanted more. And so the Muslim Brotherhood was well-organized, and they were able to move into this power vacuum very quickly, and the candidates that people had to choose was, you know, somebody that represented the old regime of Mubarak and the Muslim Brotherhood, and so they kind of voted, you know, they voted their rights away, basically, and the country is in the hands of radical Islamic extremists. That's what the Muslim Brotherhood is. They're the ones that killed Anwar Sadat. They murdered their, you know, one of their presidents. They're the ones where al-Zawahiri, who's the head of al-Qaeda, he came from the Muslim Brotherhood. And the Muslim Brotherhood, their motto, their charter, if you will, says that Sharia should be the law of the land. The jihad is their objective. And that death is one of the highest honors you can have in the name of being a martyr. So it's, you know, the rhetoric reflects the reality of what they are. They're they are coming to power, and the only one that can stop them, of course, now is going to be the Egyptian military, and that remains to be seen whether they'll step up to the plate, because if they do, there's going to be massive, massive, massive civil war that makes Syria look like a, you know, look like a picnic.
Yeah, and it, obviously there's concern in watching this from afar, but Israel has to be very concerned because they didn't have to worry about Egypt for however, four decades plus. So don't you think behind the scenes they're a little bit upset by what happened there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they're it's just another one of the regimes that has gone the way to radical Islam, which is really the goal of Al-Qaeda, was to get these puppet regimes out and have them replaced by purists, by people that adopt their view of Islam. If Jordan falls, I mean, that would be a disaster. And Jordan, the king of Jordan, is very concerned that this same type of movement will sweep into his country, and then Israel will be surrounded on two sides, I guess, the border of Jordan and the border of Egypt, with extremely hostile regimes. So, you know, once again, we've seen the liberals and President Obama that was saying that democracy was going to break out, and we're on the side of the freedom fighters. I mean, it's just naivete. We cannot get, you know, we really just can't understand what's happening in the Middle East. And the more we try to intervene and take sides, the worse it gets. And in this case, we basically kicked Mubarak under the bus. And this is what occurred. Anybody could have seen this, you would think.
Yeah, especially people that are supposedly trained to do this. This is their job, and this is where they're at our highest levels. Speaking of our highest levels, the U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is talking about attending an international meeting on Syria. You mentioned Syria would look like a picnic if the Egyptian military gets into it with this new government and the civil war could ensue in Egypt. Well, she's talking about attending this meeting on Syria that's been proposed by Kofi Annan and some others as well, some other participants, saying there has to be some kind of a political transition in the country. I mean, give me a break. What do you think that's empty rhetoric or what?
Yeah, I mean, the Assad's not going anywhere until someone, you know, forces them out with violence, and it would be a disaster for the United States to get involved militarily in Syria, because what will happen, yeah, Assad's a bad guy. He's killing people. He rules with an iron fist, but I guarantee you that he will be replaced with a regime that's worse than Assad, and it will turn out worse for U.S. interests, not better. You know, the concept of democracy is something that is foreign to the Arab world. They do not have concepts of freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of press, and somehow we think that if we help these countries, that they'll, you know, kind of look at us and say, well, what a wonderful country the United States is. We're going to follow your example. No, they just hate us even more.
Yeah, and that concept, for some reason, it's been ingrained for so long. You said it now, the government in Egypt, radical extremist, Islamic extremist, absolutely. And I don't understand why there is this, as you call it, this naiveness that runs courses through the government, that they think they can turn this switch on. You're schooled in this. This is, you've as you said, you've visited the country before. You've seen what's happened. You've been in the Middle East a ton. And how is is it just because it's easier to sell that to the American people, or why do you think that is? They have to know the history here.
Well, you know, many historians have noted that humans have a very short memory, and we have this, particularly in the West, we have this desire to think that people think like we think, and they don't think like we think. They don't share these ideas of freedom. Now, certainly I believe that all humans want freedom, but they're born into a system that is antagonistic towards that very concept. And when you mix religion with government, and I don't care what religion it is, it always equals tyranny. The touchstone for any nation is separation of church and state, freedom from religion, and these countries simply don't do that. They want to marry the religious ideas with the state, and that always equals killing, murder, and we've seen it in our own history in the middle, you know, in the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, when you had a mixture of religion with the state. And that's the fundamental problem of throughout the Middle East, is that they are so tied to religious beliefs and that they wanted a part of every part of their life from A to Z, and there is no freedom. Freedom can't coexist with that type of tyranny.
Yeah. Something that happened in Texas, the Saudi student was convicted in that Texas bomb plot, as you know, and you know, he was a 20-year-old, and it was the same thing where you've got the student visas. Do you think we're doing enough there to check who really has these visas, and why do we not know when they're exiting and when they're up? Has that changed any?
No, we're still, you know, the border is the border, both getting into this country, whether it's by air or walking across the border, is porous. We have, you know, just unbelievable numbers of people that come here on a lawful visa, and then there's no sign of them ever again. They come in and don't come out. And of course, with our federal government, the current administration, previous administrations, we simply don't track these individuals, and that's got to stop. I mean, in modern technology, modern society, we've got to follow the example of Western Europe, where every person in this country has an identity card. You have to carry the identity card in your wallet like your driver's license. And you know, people that object to that, you know, I always tell them, well, if you pay your taxes, they already know who you are. The people that will be caught up are the illegals and the people that operate in the shadows. Because if you're paying your taxes, the man already has all the information about you. Lots of systems of records. So, you know, it's the people that operate in the shadows that a national identity card would solve that problem.
Yeah. We can't let you go without asking you about Pakistan. Last time we talked about that, they were blocking the routes, as you know, of course, for trucks to get in with necessary supplies. We're talking about in Afghanistan. What do you think ultimately is going to be the end game with Pakistan?
Well, they're going to continue. I mean, they're going to continue to have border clashes and conflicts with India and with Afghanistan. As we leave Afghanistan, nothing's really much going to change in that region. It's a country that has a lot of fault lines, both economic and political and religious. It's, in many cases, it has like what we have had in this country 150 years ago, a wild, wild west. So they're going to continue to want our money, of course, as all these countries do, and yet they will continue to bite the hand that feeds them, as almost all the countries do that we give money to.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Jeff Atticott, always fun to have you on the show, terrorism expert, and of course, St. Mary's School of Law. How are things there? You guys are really doing some good work.
Yeah, things are going well. The main course we're working on right now is rules of engagement in Afghanistan. President Obama has tightened up the rules as he pulls us out of Afghanistan. Now, the new rules of engagement, and they're not military imposed, they're imposed by the Obama administration on the military. If a Taliban fighter goes into a home and he's not shooting at you, you cannot go in after that person. So the Taliban now knows that they can regroup, they can go into houses, civilian homes, eat, you know, get resupplied, and then slip out at night and go back and fight. So, you know, that's absurd, but that's now happening. The new rules of engagement, I think, there's an article that came out in this week's Army Times. And also, we're still continuing to work with Lieutenant Waddell, who's some good news. He's been promoted to Captain Waddell. That's the guy that was in Afghanistan. His career was destroyed because he killed an enemy combatant. So we're working those issues.
Yeah, that's good. Keep us in touch with what's happening there. The audience is very interested in that. Jeff Atticott, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. We're going to bounce back and talk a little health care. You can weigh in, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-KATE. A couple of emails have floated this way, and I'll hammer them out, too, as well. Stick with us.
You may snicker when you hear this message, but you won't laugh after you experience the best-kept health secret ever, camel milk. Camel milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk. Camel milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and camel milk is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, and 10 times higher in iron. And camel milk contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking Camel Milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel Milk is easily digested by those who are lactose and beta casein intolerant and comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under Products and Pricing for the spring special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com, CamelMilkForSale.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
I like to see you right across the floor.
Welcome back.
I like to do it.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast, and of course all those nooks and crannies in between. We've talked about this a lot from a couple of different aspects. One, can you still achieve the American dream, or is it still available? Also, how our families got to the U.S., what they had to go through. I've told of the stories of my family with an Irish background, how they left Ireland and ultimately came to the U.S. Our next guest, who's in our virtual green room, I hope he realizes that, he's got that expensive latte because we spare no expense here on this show with a big budget, is Stephen Mateo. His father took a wild journey to escape Franco's regime. If you remember, think of Spain back when. I went to school in Madrid, and I can remember seeing Franco's remains and how ostentatious the whole thing was, and ultimately hearing stories about his reign from people, from some of the older people that were there that I had a chance to visit with when I lived in Spain, so I can only imagine. And Stephen's written a book called Journey. We're going to ask him all about it. Hey, Stephen, thanks so much for popping on America Tonight.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So I'm very familiar with the whole Franco reign and what happened there, and your father took a very courageous step. Tell the listeners about what he decided ultimately to do, which is part of the basis of your book, Journey.
Yes. What happened was, it was 1946, and my father was coming out of high school, the age of 19. And at that time, anyone coming out of high school had to go in the mandatory Franco army for the next 5 years of your life, giving up any ambition, any dreams, any thoughts of your goals were just buried. And you had to fight for the Franco army, which was just a horrific, horrific regime. Everything back in Spain at that time was censored, your behavior, who you could talk to, where you could go, what you could read and see. So my father read books about how people lived in America, and he decided with a friend of his that they would rather risk their life for something they believed in, which was democracy, freedom of speech, the way people were living in America at the time, from what he read, instead of risking his life for something he didn't believe in, which was the Franco regime and the dictatorship in suppressing people. So they planned it for 2 years, scouting out the boats at the marina, and without telling anyone, they stole a 30-foot wooden sailboat in the middle of the night and set sail across the Atlantic to America in search for their dreams and the American dream that they were searching for, leaving behind their family, friends, everything they knew and loved.
Wow. And so any of the details that you've heard of it and how you became aware of your father's story, you told us in great description some of what you obviously knew, but what were some of the things that you heard as far as what it was like to first, once you make that leap, to realize, oh my gosh, it's me, I'm here alone. What did he say?
Yeah, it was horrific. I mean, I can't believe what he did and the courage it must have taken. He told me about the night that he knew he was leaving. He was sitting with his family at dinner like he did every night,
yeah,
around the table, and he knew that it was his last night that he was going to be sitting around that dinner table. And he also knew that there was a good chance that he would never see his family again. But he did not want to live that life in Spain the way he saw things were being run. He desperately, at 19 years old, you know, Kate, people have a fire inside of them to live life to their fullest, and he wanted to get out and go to America and live, you know, search for his dream and live life to his fullest. So that night he told me about how he felt, how his stomach was in knots, how he couldn't even eat, and walking out that door and saying goodbye to his parents, not knowing that he would possibly never see them again. So that was one thing. And then getting on the boat with his, there were supposed to be three of them on the boat, and two of them made it. His best friend never showed up. And so he was on the boat, and finally they set sail around 12:30 at midnight, just past midnight, and set sail across the Atlantic going north, up west, to America, a trip they thought would take 30 to 40 days, 90 days later. And I can't tell you what happens at sea. For 90 days, my dad is at sea trying to reach land, and he was already 15 days without any food and 4 days without any water when an American ship leaving New York finds a small boat drifting 400 miles off the coast with no sails, with my father barely alive, rescuing him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What a story. And so your father took the risk, took the leap, and he grabbed that American dream. So when you see now, if living in these times, these decades later, do you think that you're a great person to ask this question. Do you think the American dream is still achievable? Can we all still grab the brass ring?
Well, it has shifted to the type of people who are looking and searching for that American dream now. But for most, the ideals, the American dream are the ideals of freedom, equality, opportunity, and a life to pursue happiness and material comfort. I mean, that's a great description of the American dream. And in many areas in the world, those things I just mentioned don't even exist in people's homeland. So yes, like Mexico is a perfect example. There's so many Latinos and Mexicans coming over here now searching for that American dream, trying to escape drug wars, beheadings, corruption, bribery. So many, you know, disgusting things are happening in their homeland. But, Kate, the thing is nobody wants to leave their homeland. People are forced to search for a better life for themselves or their family.
Yeah.
So I believe, you know, we do offer that. We offer here in America freedom, equality. You know, we're still growing in some areas, but it's happening. Opportunity and a life to be able to pursue personal happiness and material comfort. And those are wonderful things each human being should be able to have in life.
Yeah, I agree.
We all deserve that. And so for Latinos coming from South America and for a lot in the Middle East who are trying to escape, you know, dictatorship and from being oppressed there, I believe if they do make it here, that a lot of them are finding the American dream. And that's why I believe that, you know, they shouldn't be. I believe most immigrants, the majority of immigrants that come here are good citizens. They work hard. All they want is to work. And they want to work hard and live a happy life for their family.
Yeah. The thing that's great about this country is to realize, I say this all the time, we live in the greatest country. I mean, the fact that, as you just mentioned it, the freedoms and whatnot, so, you know, when you see the Statue of Liberty, there's a reason why the Statue of Liberty is there, and I think it's easy to get lost in that in your daily life. And also to realize what parents and grandparents sacrificed to get to the United States. Is that what inspired you to adapt the story into a novel?
Wow, you know, what inspired me to adapt the story into a novel, when I heard about the story, Kate, it just had all the elements of an amazing movie. And that's where I write screenplays.
Yeah.
That's where I've been educated in, is to write screenplays. So I wrote the screenplay of Journey first. And when I heard the story from my father and read some articles on it, I instantly saw the drama that these young kids went through to search for the American dream, this adventure and horrific journey at 90 days at sea, what happens to a family, his family, waking up one morning, finding that their son has just disappeared, not knowing whether he's alive or dead, what they go through, and a mother's faith and hope that her son is still alive out there. He left a note that they didn't find until 3 months later. They found that note. So for 3 months, they had no idea what had happened to him. So the story is about me discovering his secret, because I grew up not knowing about this about my father.
Right.
So it starts off in present day with me discovering it, and then going back in time once I approach my father and ask him, please tell me the story. Why didn't you tell me this, and what happened? And then it goes back and telling the story, him telling the story of what happened, why two kids have to risk their life, and everything else that he went through. But you're right when you were saying a lot of us that are born here don't realize, and a lot of our parents don't even tell us. They, you know, that generation, they keep secrets, and they didn't talk a whole lot,
right,
about their journey. Whereas today, you know, there's no secrets kept. It's instantly on Twitter, instantly Facebook. I mean, for today, for kids can't keep secrets today. I mean, everything is talked about so instantaneously.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Hey, so good luck with Journey. Pick up Stephen's book. You can get it where books are sold. Stephen Mateo, what a pleasure. We'll have to have you back on again and talk a little Hollywood and what it's like doing that screenwriter thing. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Emergency Essentials has Mountain House deals in June. Today only, Emergency Essentials, the 24-year leader in emergency preparedness supplies, does it again with up to 25% off Mountain House foods. Don't miss these savings. All Mountain House number 10 cans are 20 to 25% off during the month of June only at VPrepared.com. Mountain House foods have superior taste and a scientifically proven 25-year shelf life because they start with fresh or frozen foods, then cook, prepare, and finally freeze-dry them. All the goodness, flavor, and taste are locked in as if handmade from scratch. Mountain House, the same great meals enjoyed by campers and outdoorsmen the world over. Hurry, through today only. Call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and the BePrepared.com low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.